Our musicians and singers have done a fantastic job this morning. The songs and the communion this morning all line up. I was amazed as each chorus came up, it just slotted in. How much we need the Lord, what He's done for us, where we can go with His help. Father, I just pray that this word will come forth as You wish it to come forth, not the way I want it, but the way You want it. Pray, Holy Spirit, that You'll use this word and You'll touch hearts, change spirits, lift up people to a new height, a new power, a new strength. The Lord, You called each one of us for a reason, for a purpose, for a season. And Father, we pray that You will help us to fulfill what You've called us to fulfill. Lord, as we wind down, that You'll wind us up again. As we look other places, that You'll realign our eyes. As we hear different words, Father, that You'll block them out and put the right words into our ears. So, Father, we lift up this morning to You, praying, Lord, for Your word to be fulfilled as it goes forth. Lord, use me as a servant. Open my mouth. Speak through me, I ask. In Jesus' name, amen. I've called this morning's service or speaking, "It's Time to Change." It is time to change. Now, I guess we could say that at any time through our Christian walk, in any country, in any language, in any place, it is time to change. We tend to get in a rut. We tend to do same old, same old. And it's wonderful that we get a break. Faith and I have just been away to Queensland for a couple of weeks. And it's good to have a break and come back and not do same old, same old. To take advantage of that time out. For the first time, I think, in my Christian walk, we went 2 weeks without going to church. Now, God doesn't condemn you and say, "Oh, you naughty boy, you naughty girl, that's it." Takes down one of the stars. He's a God of love. He wants to see us fulfilling whatever He's called. And we tend to get in the way. We tend to go our own way. We've seen some dreadful things happen over the last week. And we're still in shock over it. Where a couple have broken up. They've gone off a holiday, and when they came back, they was in an absolute mess. One's gone this way, the other's gone that way. Total chaos. God doesn't want that for His children. God wants us, as the songs have been saying this morning, to turn to Him. Ask of Him. He is the power. He is the way. He is the one that knows. He sees tomorrow. We can't even remember properly. I can't. Yesterday. We need to change, to get on that train that God, that tracks that God has given us. Psalm 1:1-3 reads, "Blessed is the man, blessed is the man and the woman. You are blessed who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly." Stop listening to the stupid stuff that's coming out on the TV. The idiotic stuff that's coming out on the TV. God is doing incredible things that are in absolute opposition to the rubbish we're hearing on the TV. Don't listen to the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the path of sinners. It's so easy to slip into the wrong place, to get into the wrong company, to listen to the wrong words. Nor sits in the seat of the scornful. I bow to that one, that criticism of government, criticism of things that are done, the idiocy of life in the West and in the East. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. We are special people. We have been given something that the rest of the world hasn't got. The Word of God. But God went even further than that. He gave us His Son. And He went further than that. He gave us His Spirit. We are special people. We have something the rest of the world doesn't have. And when they crash good and good. But when a Christian crashes, he's got that word, he's got the power of the Holy Spirit, he's got the knowledge that brothers and sisters all around him are praying for him, praying for her, lifting them up. We're special. We've got something that the rest of them haven't. And in his law, he meditates day and night. I don't know about you, but I find that difficult. I had a brother many years ago, a brother in Christ, and he used to meditate on the word day and night. He could get hold of a scripture and just chew on it like a cow, chewing on the cud all day long. That's just brilliant. And in verse 3 it says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. God's rivers of water. We don't just paddle around in this water. We are soaked in it. The Holy Spirit reigns in us. Jesus reigns in us. We're better than a tree planted by the waters. The waters are within us. They're filling us up day after day. The tree that brings forth its fruit in its season. Notice that it said brings forth the fruit in its season. Sometimes Christians get all tied up because, oh, I didn't save anybody this year or last year or the year before. I didn't do this year or I didn't do that. We have seasons, and I've preached about seasons. It's one of my favorite words, that we go through seasons. And here it says that we produce fruit in its season. So if things aren't working quite well for you and you're not seeing the fruit of your endeavors, of your prayers, it'll produce in its season. And that means it'll come to fruit when God wants it to come to fruit. It's a waste of time for the little kiddie to come to dad and say, Dad, I want a shotgun. You're not going to give the kid a shotgun. But in due season, as he grows up, perhaps on a property, he'll need a gun. And dad will be only too happy to give him one after he's trained him, shown him how to use it. God's the same with us. Lord, I want to save 1,000 people today. You couldn't cope with that. You simply couldn't cope with it. So I'll give you one today, I'll give you one next week, and 3 the week after. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Whose leaf also shall not wither. What a promise that is. None of you look like a leaf to me. But we are leaves on a great tree of God. And that promise is that we won't wither. I'm 80 plus years old now. Don't be an old fool. But my leaf has not withered. I still know that God has use for me. Otherwise I wouldn't be here. It doesn't matter how old you are, you don't wither. The body gives up, but the mind doesn't, the soul doesn't, the spirit doesn't. I don't see myself as an old geezer. The mind still ticks over as it did 30, 40, 50 years ago. It's a peculiar thing, but it's a simple fact. I haven't withered inside. I refuse to wither inside. The body's going to cark it. That's simple fact. But the word says, the leaf, you and I, on that tree, will not wither. And whatever he does shall prosper. Hallelujah. Sometimes we don't look like we're prospering too well. But if God was to lay down all the things that you and I have achieved for the kingdom since we came to know Christ, you would be amazed. You'll be amazed how many people you've touched with words that you didn't think were worth a cracker. You'd be amazed at how many people have changed because you gave them a smile or a hug or a dinner or just said hello. It's amazing what a smile will do. I remember talking to a guy that I hadn't seen for donkey's years. He was a big speaker, and I used to go to his get-togethers on a Tuesday lunchtime. And he saw me many, many years ago. We bumped into each other. I said, I remember you. He said, I remember you because of your smile. Now, how hard is that? How hard is it to give somebody a smile? How difficult is that? But it's something we Christians can do. Once again, it's our choice to be where we stand. God doesn't force it on it. It doesn't force anything on us. He shows us the way. He whispers into our heart. He guides our footsteps. We hear him in somebody's voice. We hear him in dreams. We hear him in situations. But he'll never force anything on you. He's a loving God. He's a caring God. And he desires to get you from there to there as quickly and as positively as he can. He's got a destination. He's got a place for each and every one of us. And we'll get there. Revelation 3, 15, 16 says, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish that you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will vomit you from my mouth. In other words, I will discard you. We need to know where we stand and who we stand in and stand there. We need to be positive. If you're cold, you can say, right, you're cold, you're not interested, you're gone, you're finished, I'm going to concentrate on this one that's hot. And as Christians, we should all be hot. We've got the fire of the Holy Spirit in here. The heat, the power of the Holy Spirit is in here to do his bidding. Don't be a wishy-washy Christian. Too many Christians traveling in fourth gear all the time. No matter if there's a hill or a valley, they stay in fourth gear and wonder why the car stalls on a small hill. That's a problem. How much of the Holy Spirit we've got within us? How many hills do we overtake? How many times do we get to a hill and stagger? Because we're not built up in the Word and the power of the Holy Spirit. There is not a mound or a hill or anything that is too great for a Christian to overcome when they meditate in the Word of God, when they're in prayer, when they're in fellowship, when they know that they're walking the path that God has laid down for each of us. It's a different path to each of us. Some don't even have the motor in gear. Can you believe that? I can. I wonder why they can't even climb a little hill. They keep pushing the accelerator down, but nothing happens. How can we use the motor if we don't even know how to put it into drive? How can you be filled with the Holy Spirit if you don't know how to grasp a hold of it? How can you go in the power of the Holy Spirit if he's not in there in full power? It's like a car. If we don't connect it up through the right gear to the power plant, you're not going to get over it. I bought a motorbike many, many years ago. An old Enfield 350 army thing. And the guy that had it before was a big fella. And he used to sit on this thing and he'd just sit in gear and it bong, 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 uphill, down, down. And I bought it off of him. The first thing I did was done the motor up and threw the gearbox away. You need to change gear every now and again. You need to have a bit more power every now and again. Every now and again, a problem will come in your way. A hill will come in your way. It just needs a bit more power of the Holy Spirit, a bit more prayer, a bit more reading of the Word, a bit more time spent with brothers and sisters in Christ. Because when you spend more time with the other side, you're draining what you've gained by being with brothers and sisters in Christ and the Word. We need to know Jesus. How can we use the motor if we don't know how to put it into drive? How can we say we know Jesus when we only know of him? It's like, do you know the Queen of England? Oh yeah, she married Philip, she lives in a big house and loves dogs. But until she comes and you have tea with her and look her in the eye and speak with her, you don't know the Queen. And Jesus is the same. unless you can spend time with Jesus and get to know Jesus and get to realize that he is a friend as well as a king, as well as God, as well as the Almighty, he is a friend, and we need to see Jesus as a friend. I see Jesus when he was with the disciples, spread out on the floor and chucking stones at each other and making funny things and pointing things out and just being natural. Too many times we hear this business of church. Oh, church. Oh, you've got to be pious. You've got to say the right words. You've got to come to church every Sunday. What a load of garbage. What you need is Christ Jesus. What you need is a close relationship with the one who makes it all possible. You can go to church, and there's many, many people that go to church day after day, and they're going to hell. Because they don't know Jesus. It's not the church, it's the body of Christ. I hate that word religion. I hate that word because it's one of Satan's words. Christ Jesus is one body, and we draw strength through him. We need to get to know Jesus through his word, through prayer, through the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to know him, not of him. We need to have a relationship, not just a knowledge. We need to have a heart to heart, not a mind to mind. It's a totally different area. We need to know the power plant, the power plant, the Holy Spirit, the great power, the love of God, the Holy Spirit. We can do so many incredible things. I've seen incredible moves of the Holy Spirit over the years, here in Australia and overseas. Incredible things happen when we are full on with the Holy Spirit. How can we expect to get over a big mountain if we're conned into thinking we only have a small motor? We have the greatest, biggest, largest, most powerful motor in the world, the Holy Spirit. Not in the world, in the universe, the Holy Spirit. And when we grasp a hold of the power of the Holy Spirit, we can achieve anything. Anything. Anything God calls us to do. We need to be full of the Holy Spirit power all the time. Oh, yeah, but I remember being filled up 10 years ago. Well, it's sort of waned since then. We need to be topped up all the time. Considerably crying out, Lord, touch me again, fill me again. Touch me with your power, with the knowledge of your word. Help me to understand more. Help me, Lord, to reach out, to encourage people. And that goes round and round and round. What you give out comes back. And if we give out the power and the love of Christ, it'll come back each and every time. If we find a big man in our way, we need to change gear. First thing we need to do, I'm quite convinced about this. If we're going into a problem, if we got something big coming and we need to do something, the very first thing we need is mindset. Once it's fixed up here, this is the way. The small voice behind me, this is the way, walk in it. When we're seeking the Lord and we get a word, I had three words this week. Three words. I'm not going to get up here and give you three words. I need somebody to tell me which one. I put them on the, you wouldn't believe it, I put it on the workbench out in the garage. It's quiet out there. And I left them there for several days. And I kept saying, okay, Lord, which one, which one, which one? And eventually this one comes to mind. God will speak into our minds a physical, mental thing. I'm not quite sure how those two work together. But you know that you know that you know God has spoken to me. God has said, that's the one. And through the songs and through the communion and Jesse's word, I know that's the right one. It's confirmation. What's being spoken this morning is what God wants me to speak about. So you get that mindset I know what needs to be done. Whether it's to do that thing that I said, to give somebody a smile, to give somebody a cuddle, to give somebody a feed, to give somebody an encouragement, to just knock on the door and say, hey, how you going? To pick up the phone and say, how's your life? How's your week? How's things been going? It's that mindset. And when you get it, do it. Be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving who? Yourself. And God does it all the time. He spoke to me just before we went off on holiday to pop round and see a particular couple. And I think, Lord, they're all right. They don't need me. And I went round there. And we had a wonderful time, a wonderful discussion. And it uplifted their particular situation at that time. Hear, fix, do. Hear, fix, do. Because once we've got our mind set, that's the biggest part of the problem out of the way. Once we set a thing in our mind and say, this is what I'm going to do, do it. And it'll work. It's amazing how problems come off our shoulders when we fix our mind on a particular calling and do it. And all of a sudden it falls away. Everything good. The pressure's gone. Life ticks over once again. Get into third gear, even fourth gear, or right down to pushing, if you like, to get over your problem. Well, when we're in fourth gear, we're just sort of cruising along. You know, you're out on the highway. Car's going practically like itself. No problems. But when there's a hill, we need to drop down a gear. It means I need to spend more time in the Word and more time in prayer. And if we even bigger hill, well, the answer's simple. You spend more time in prayer, more time in the Word, more time in fellowship. That's where the power comes from. You don't just say, connect me, Lord. Lord, I remember there was a preacher, and he was in a big auditorium, and they went to knock on the door and say, you know, time to get moving. He's laying on the bed with the Bible across his belly. That's a good way to have a snooze and say that you're in the Word. You need to open the thing and read it. It's no good hearing about His Holy Spirit and hearing about the power. It's a matter of getting a hold of it. Getting a hold of it. Fill me again, Lord. And sometimes even while we're singing up here, a particular word will come to you and you just lift your arms and say, Lord, fill me again. Fill me again. Fill me again. Great. Great. It's so easy. There's nothing hard about it. In Exodus 3:1, now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, which is the mountain of God. And we tend to go out into the desert and get bogged down. You see, Moses was in the desert and he went from the desert to the mountain of God. Now, whether he was drawn there or he just automatically went there or he just wanted to get higher, I don't know. But he went and arrived at the mountain of God. He had a one-on-one relationship suddenly with God. And we've all been there. I can remember when I had that first encounter with, there was no great fire. There was no great booming voice. It was just we accept Christ Jesus, and that is our encounter with Christ. Keep it going. Don't let it fall by the wayside. It's amazing how we do get bogged down, isn't it? We don't get a mindset. We can see the mountain, but we're staying down in the sand, in the desert. It's so easy to keep going on, dragging our feet through the bog. It's so easy to think, oh, this thing's too big. It's got me glued down. I can't move my feet. I can't rush forward. It's like being in a swimming pool and trying to run. Doesn't happen. But when you get in a mindset, you get out of the blessed water. You get out of the bog. You climb out of the water and you can run like the clappers. You climb up the mountain, you can see for miles. It's that mindset thing is, I'm going to do this. I'm going to spend more time with the prayer. I'm going to spend more time in reading the Word. I'm going to try and get some sort of understanding out of some of these words that I don't understand. There's plenty in the Bible. I open the Bible up sometimes and say, what on earth is this all about? Get into Ezekiel and see all those eyes going around the rims. Do you understand that? If you do, please come and tell me, because I don't. simply means to me that you can't explain heaven in earthly words. Moses met with God, and from that moment on his life completely changed, as did, didn't it? Did every one of our lives changed when we met with God? I used to do a lot of Christian growth up at Paradise, and I used to tell the people, especially the new Christians, which most of them were, remember the moment of your conversion. It is an anchor to hang your faith on for the rest of your life. Remember that moment when Jesus came into your life. Hang on to it. Never forget it. It's a great anchor in times of trouble. It did happen. I was there. I remember it. I accepted it. No more argument. Nick off Satan. He learned how to climb many high mountains. You remember the Apostle Paul. I was speaking in the village yesterday for Father's Day, and I came out with a crazy word and I couldn't get it right. It's amazing, isn't it? Sometimes you get a word comes out, and once it's come out, you can't change it. You can't get the right word. Everybody thought it was funny. In Luke 6:12-13, "Now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray, and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called his disciples to himself, and from them he chose 12, whom he named the apostles." Jesus had a special mountain to climb. He had a big mountain. These guys were going to have a huge load put on their shoulders. He had to pick the right ones. And Jesus went out to a mountain before he chose the men who would carry on when he left. So he moved into another gear. He went up on a high mountain. He prayed all night. He went out from his usual place to a higher place. He spent all night in prayer to his Father. And whenever I think about that, I think, if Jesus needed it, how much more do we need it? If Jesus needed that, how much more do we need it? It's like when Jesus was in the desert fighting against Satan. He didn't say, "I am the Son of God, nick off." He used the word. He used the word that was already written and already in place. He said, "It is written." And if Jesus needed the word of God to overcome Satan, how much more do we need it? How much more do we need in prayer? How much more do we need in understanding and reading the word? How can you fight a battle if you don't know what your weapon is? How can you repulse the fiery darts of the evil one if you don't know what your armor is? It's all in the word. If you don't read it, you haven't got it. We need to get more and more of it. I remember when I first started my spiritual work, and I talked once again about the Christian growth classes in Paradise. They were an incredible thing. The people that went through that had something like a 97% retention rate in their Christian walk. And I remember we used to have all-night prayers. All night. I can't even imagine 2 hours these days. But we would stay up all night, 6 to 6, praying for new Christians, for God's presence, for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, for the teachers, for the leaders. And it worked. And I'm convinced it still works if we're willing to do it. If we've got a problem, get into prayer. Get into prayer. Get into prayer. If we have a problem, do we spend all night in prayer? Do we even get up earlier to spend an extra hour? Remember the disciples at Gethsemane. They couldn't stay for an hour. If you went to the prayer meeting in South Korea with Yonggi Chow, if you couldn't sit on a concrete floor in prayer mountain for 2 hours, you hadn't even begun. You hadn't even started. I can't imagine doing it myself. Do we really know him? Do we really know Jesus? In John 2:3-6, it says, "Now by this we know that we know him." What a way to start. By this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as Jesus walked. And we wonder why sometimes our prayers are not answered, because I don't think any of us fulfill those scriptures. If I want to make something that looked and worked exactly as an original, I would need to use the same materials. I would have to treat the materials exactly the same as the original was treated. I would have to cut them to the same pattern. I would have to paint them with the same paint. I would have to follow Jesus exactly. He's laid down the direction. He's given us all that we need to get there. He's standing with his arms open at all times, whether we're fit and healthy or not, whether we're doing exactly the right thing or not. He's always with us. Is it time to change gear? How many here actually need to change gear? How many here are actually struggling with where you're at now? How many need to actually look a little bit higher than you've been looking? Have you noticed that, and I was bitterly disappointed when we went to Europe some years back, and when you're driving along in your car, you can't see very much over the hedges. But when you get up in a coach, you see over the top, you see further, you see better. And when we were in Austria, I was really looking forward to seeing, but they built ruddy great walls all the way down all the sides of the roads, and even in the bus you couldn't see anything. You see, the higher we get, the more we see. And the higher we get in the word, the more we see. The higher, the more prayer we get, the more prayer we are able to fulfill. We've just seen the Commonwealth Games with guys that have just dedicated their lives to winning. And I take my hats off to that sort of dedication. Whether they won a gold medal or a silver medal or whatever flipping model, doesn't matter. They got there. They went. They tried their hardest. And that is such a perfect pattern for us. If we try, if we do something different today than we did yesterday, if we read one scripture more today than we read yesterday, if we spend 10 minutes more in prayer than we did yesterday, there's always a beginning, and today can be the day of change. And there's no reason why it should not be. And if we're struggling, I'm speaking to me. I'm one of you. I'm nothing different than anybody else. We're all, I think, in that stage where we can do better. We can go higher. We can achieve more. Jesus showed us the pattern, pointed the way, gave us the example. In Ezekiel, he was told to eat all of the scroll. He was told to eat all of the scroll. Not just Ephesians, not just Luke, not just stumble over Revelation, all of the Word of God. John was told to eat all of the little book. The cover, the middle page, everything in the book, he said, eat it. Eat it. But he also said it'll be sweet in the mouth and sour in the stomach. Sometimes some of the stuff that we're asked to do gets a bit sour in the stomach. But do it. Do it. Moses was told, make sure you make the temple exactly. That word's in there. Make sure you build the temple exactly to the pattern you were showed on the When you went up that mountain, God gave him all that it was. Jesus certainly has showed us the pattern. He went all the way. He didn't get to the front of the cross and say, well, that's it, I can't do the next step. Call down 30 legions of angels, wipe this lot out, start again. No, he went all the way. Paul set his face, he set his mind to go to Rome. I'm going. That's it, let's do it. The prophets were saying, don't go, you'll suffer. Paul said, makes no difference. God wants me there, I'm going. And God wants each of us a little further than where we are now. And that includes me. It's time to come out to be refueled. It's time to rededicate. And if you feel that you'd like to come forward, it's always open. Get a touch from God. Please do so. Please do so. Father, touch my brothers and sisters, whether they stand or not. Move as only you can by the power that you and you alone have created and hold. And Father, help us to go from this place. Get into another gear. Spend another 5 minutes in prayer. Touch another gospel. Read a book we haven't read for a long time. So Father, I just pray that you'll bless each one as we leave this place. Help us, Father, to reach out to others, to uplift, to bring forth words of wisdom. We cry out sometimes for wisdom, for Lord, we seem to fail in our words. So Father, we ask these things in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.